So let us read now from the book of Zechariah, chapter 13, beginning in verse 6. Zechariah 13, verses 6 through 9. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, The Lord is my God. Then let's turn to the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 27, and begin there in verse 22. Matthew 27, beginning in verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyed the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. We'll stop there. We have a sermon this morning by Reverend Samuel Rutherford. It's actually a sermon from the text from Zechariah 13:7a, with also some thoughts that he had from another communion sermon of very similar nature, which are added. The text of the sermon, well, first the title, Awake, O Sword. And the text from Zechariah 13:7a, Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord. And there's 5 points. First, an introduction. And then, Awake, O sword. And thirdly, Awake, sword, and smite. And then, Awake against my fellow. Children, we don't use that word as much these days. It means my friend or my companion. Awake against my fellow, from the text. And then, fifthly, an application. You may have heard that Samuel Rutherford was a man given to live out of the love of Christ, and his preaching was very much that focus. Again, not his love for Christ, but the love of Christ. That was his message that God had given him in his ministry. And though he saw himself as very poor in his love for Christ, the love of Christ sustained him and granted him to write sermons that we may now enjoy by God's grace only, the fruit of. And though, children, sometimes when God grants his ministers to use stories and illustrations to make his word simpler for us, since our minds are so simple and unspiritual, yet this particular sermon does not have so many of those stories and illustrations as it makes the experience of Christ in his passion, his suffering and death, it makes that experience so lively and so striking that we don't need the stories or illustrations in this particular sermon. So I hope we're all given to listen with that in mind. Again, the text. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. The eunuch, when reading Isaiah 53, asked the question, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Christ's sufferings were so admirable that they made him the world's wonder. As if a man would say, what a sight do I see, the like whereof I never saw. I see the Son of God, the Lord of life, all mangled in his hands and feet. Look on Christ's person and wonder that he who is the way should be weary, that he who is the strength should be faint, that the life should die, the bread be hungry, that he who is the water should be thirsty. Is this not a rare matter, a wonder, that the Godhead should be knit in a personal union with the man of sorrows? For God, with his Spirit, to bear up a man under sorrow is nothing compared with giving his personal self to stand connected with wounds, blood, curse, and shame. For the Godhead to breathe, live in, and dwell as one with the person shamed, cursed, hanging on the cross, dead and buried, this is truly wonderful. Compare Christ to others. It was nothing to see Moses subjected to scorning, Zechariah slain between the porch and the altar, and many of the martyrs rent in pieces. But for Christ, for God, to be so handled is strange. O God, what wonders do we see? The hand that spanned the heavens, pierced with nails, the feet that tread on the stars, nailed to a tree. What man or angel could have dreamed of this rare and strange way to heaven? The justice would have God, man, to suffer. This was a voluntary work for God to come down to save men. He did not need to do this out of his own free goodwill. He breathes out goodness, love, mercy, tender compassion. What a mystery! The infinite God to suffer for miserable man. Then, he that thinks little of sin, thinks little of God. The willful sinner, who takes sin into his bosom, is cruel to his Maker. If Christ is your husband, and you are his wife, then sin slew your husband. Will the wife love the knife that cut her husband's throat? The wife loves not her husband if she takes into her bosom the man who pursued her husband to death and helped to execute him on the gallows. Should the redeemed of the Lord then love their lusts that pursued Christ to death and nailed him to the cross? Then beware, by going on in sin, of saying amen to the shedding of Christ's blood. Learn to look at Christ in his suffering for his people. Oh, the love of God, it passes all knowledge. We read in Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. But alas, the world is always picking quarrels with Christ and his followers. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Psalm 2, verse 3. When Christ came to the nation of the Jews, they were offended at him. I assure you, he is blessed who finds no fault with God, who thinks Christ so fair and lovely that there is no spot in him, and loves Christ, even when Christ seems to be angry with him. If it is asked, should Christ have offered mercy to the Jews? Is it not against justice that mercy should be offered to those who trample mercy underfoot? If you consider Christ's nature, you will see that he found it needful to give an offer of mercy to those who spat in his face. Having man's nature in him, he found it needful to put on bowels of mercy. He could not go away and leave his friend's house, but constrained him to stay still and take all the strokes that his friends gave him. A man has compassion on his firstborn, a woman on the fruit of her womb, a husband on his wife, a man on his friend, a faithful king on his people. But Christ is infinite in his nature, even as mercy running over the banks. Christ said to justice, "Stay till I woo my bride," for justice would have been at us to slay us. Absalom sought to slay David, his father. But David gave command to the captains and officers to deal gently with the young man, Absalom. "Be not sore upon my child." And so mercy comes to sinners through Christ. Look to Christ's office as a dying Christ. The law cried, "Death upon all sinners." Christ, as mediator, said, "God forbid, my Father, I would rather give my heart's blood before it were so." How went the matter then? Thus, the more unkind the world was to Christ, he was the more kind to it. They abused him. He kissed and embraced them in his arms. Christ, as mediator, came and bowed down to go into the house of clay that he had borrowed. But they met him at the door, fell upon him and abused him and bruised both his hands and his feet. Upon what terms did Christ make the bargain with his Father? He got commandment to die, but not forever. He said, "I will be content to die and be warm-hearted to them. I shall take them in my two arms and pull them out of hell and from all their miserable toil." Our Lord says, "Let them be as ill as devils to me. I will be as good as God to them." Then it reproves those who seek a reason why Christ died for them. Oh, say they, "I am a hard-hearted body, so rebellious that Christ would never die for me." Well, then, do you think that Christ would die for hire? Would you make Christ a popish God who died for sinners who were good? Christ, before he came out of heaven, knew the worst of it, and said, "Let my friends slay me. I will die in love for them." Then look, sour, unthankful world, and what a hold Christ took of your souls and held them tight and would not let them go. So it is a shame to us not to clasp him. We are ashamed forevermore if we do not take Christ, who would so willingly take us. Come to yourselves then, and fight no longer against him. Say, woe is me that my Lord kissed me, but I abused him. If this move not our heart and melt it with love to Christ, God shall break it all to pieces, and it shall never be healed again. Oh, my friends, Christ never got good from his friends. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. From John 1:11. The house of Israel crucified him. The daughters of Jerusalem stirred him up before he pleased. The rulers and teachers of the church and professors are traitors who sell Christ, even the men who pretend friendship with him. It is a shame to beguile and to be false to any friend. Far less should we be false to Christ. Are you a professor in the church? Be true to Christ and stand to his cause. Then our second point. Awake, O sword. Awake against my shepherd. As if the sword had ears and were asleep, the Lord speaks to it and says, as in Ezekiel 14:17, if I bring a sword upon a land and say, sword, go through the land to cut off from it man and beast. He is speaking to the sword as if it were a messenger who had ears, who he sends on an errand. We should be afraid to anger the Lord who has so many on his side. If God say, sword, go to Germany, or go through Scotland, it dare not disobey his call. If God say, arise, pestilence, and set on them, or awake, devils, come hither and set on Scotland. Come hither, whore of Rome, smite Scotland, and make it a den of dragons. They must obey. He bids the sword awake against his son and shepherd, Christ, because by the determinate counsel of God, he was to be slain. And there are two sweet reasons why he awakes the sword against Christ. First, because the sword needed to sleep a while, till Christ's 12 hours of the day was over. He says in Luke 13:32, I must work today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. So long as Christ had the world to teach with the gospel, and any seed to sow, any soul to convert, so long the sword slept. For his father gave him a time to court his wife. And, oh, our Lord aroused and hastened before the sword awaked against him. The second reason the sword needed to sleep till the day came, and then the sword would awake. For God would not, the sword needed to sleep till the term day or the payment day came. And then the sword awaked. For God would not want payment an hour past the time. And that was a black and dreary hour to Christ. He needed to answer the summons. Therefore, when the hour of awakening, the sword came, he said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. From John 12:27. So Christ desired it not, but for the love he had to us, he was glad of the day and willing to pay the debt. He had the sum ready. For their sakes, I sanctify myself. John 17:19. He made his soul and body ready for the fire, to be burned as a sacrifice for man upon the altar of the cross. And because he was willing, with all his heart to suffer. Therefore he says, arise, let us go hence. In John 14:31. He went to that place where he knew they would take him, and willingly went to prison for the debt of sinners. He was like an honest man who resolved to pay his debt and would gladly receive a discharge. Oh, gladly would Christ have written debt paid in his hands for himself and his heirs. Hence, we are taught to use our time well, our 12 hours of time here, as Christ did, the hour of death, the hour of the call. He had nothing left to do. So let us be ready against our hour, that death and judgment awake us not. It is a bad time to sleep then, while the judge is before the door, and when we hear the voice of the Lord's feet coming in wrath against the land, it is not time for us to lay down our head and say, soul, take thine ease. And yet it is often seen when God is crying to the sword to awake against the land. It is midnight with men therein. Then they are sleeping, and it is the most fearful death of all, to die in sleep, that is, unprepared, to be slain in that state and to leap into eternity in a night dream when we know not where we are going. The third point, awake, sword, and smite. Do not spare that man. Justice, spare him not. Curse of the law, spare him not. Men, devils, take your will of him. To hear God say this of Christ was a world's wonder. O Son, hide thyself, hide thy face. O heavens, put on a mask of darkness. O angels, go down and dry the sweat off him. O earth, tremble. O graves, open. O rocks, rent. Fools mock and laugh at sin. But Christ wept when he satisfied for it. What a sight was innocent and harmless Jesus when he stood before the governor and had not one word to say. They laid thieves' bands on our Savior's hands, hands that had never stolen, that had never shed blood. Bands bound his hands, but love, mercy, and grace bound his tender heart with stronger bands and cords to loose us out of the bands of sin. He cried in the Spirit, Father, bind me and loose them. Slay me and save them. Their ill be upon me. So be it, dear Jesus. Darkness was in all Judea when our Lord suffered. And why? Because he who was the light, he who was the candle that lighted the sun and the moon, was blown out. The Godhead was eclipsed. Children, you remember what an eclipse is? When the moon will come in front of the sun and then it can be dark in the middle of the day. And so here the picture is of the light of Christ being darkened. And so from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, all was dark when he was being crucified. He took away the sun with him, as it were, to another world, when he that was the world's sun was put out. O sun in the sky, what ails thee? As if the sun had said to Jesus, I have not the will to shine when my Lord is going to another world. As if the sun had said to Jesus, Lord, if thou be going to another world, take me with you. Christ cries, I thirst. I thirst? No wonder There was a fire in his soul, such a furnace that would have dried up the sea and all the waters in it. Cast one coal of God's wrath into the middle of the sea, and it would soon suck it all up. The pure, unmixed wrath of God would drink it all dry in a moment. All the wells in the earth, if set to Christ's mouth, could not have quenched his thirst. A drink of his Father's well was that which cooled his burned and dried soul. Christ cried, "My soul is heavy unto death. Sorrow is like to kill me. Fear and horror is like to break my heart. What, dear Lord Jesus, art thou regretting the voyage? Wouldst thou repent of thy bargain?" In other words, children, is he regretting going this way? "No, no, but it is a bargain of sorrow to me. It is a sad cup, as if Christ said, 'Oh, I see an ugly sight. I see my God covered with anger. I see a fire greater than if you put all the fires of hell in one. My God has dealt with me. Poor me, weeping, weak me, as his enemy. My God is running upon me like a giant. My martyrs and my servants sing and rejoice when dying at the gallows or fire. But I weep. I lie sad and dreary, being all alone. Why? Because my God is away. O wells, O lakes, O running streams, where were you when my Lord could not get a drink? O shame on all Jerusalem, for there was wine enough in Jerusalem, and yet their king is burned like a stick. O wells, what ails at you? What ails you at your Lord Jesus?'" In other words, what offense do you have against him? The wells and lakes answer, "Alas, we dare not know him. The Lord has strictly forbidden us. We are stopped. We dare not serve our master. Is there any cooling in all Judea?" "Yes, but our Lord was denied." Oh, to hear the wells say, "We will give Herod and Pilate a drink, but we will give Christ none. Yea, there is no drink on earth for Christ, nothing but a drink of gall and vinegar." Children, gall is one of the most bitter things you could ever taste, more bitter than the sourest thing you could think of. The wells say, "We will give drink to oxen and horses, but never a drop for the Lord of glory. For all his service done at Jerusalem, for all his good preaching, for all his glorious miracles, not so much as a drop of cold water. Shame on you, famous Jerusalem. Is this your reward to your great high priest? Not so much as the beggar's courtesy, a drink of cold water to your dear Redeemer, Jesus. But by this, Christ has bought drink for all believers." I'll repeat that. "But by this, Christ has bought drink for all believers." Perhaps, children, you could remember Lazarus and that rich man, and how that rich man asked if he could just have one drop of cool water for his burning tongue as he was in hell. And why it was Lazarus in the bosom of the Father. And Lazarus received all that goodness, as it were, all the water he could ever hope for or need, because Christ made a way of salvation by taking no drink. And so he bought for all believers that eternal water. Jesus gave up the ghost. O life of life, wouldst thou be taken prisoner by death? O to see that blessed head fall to the side. O to see life lacking life. To see life lying dead. To see that blessed mouth silent. To see that fair corpse rolled in linen and laid in a tomb. Oh, to see sweet Jesus, that blessed body, carried in Joseph's arms. Come hither, believers, and see a sight that ye never saw the life of. Oh, what would the disciples say, but that we are beguiled men? We thought that he should have restored the kingdom to Israel. And now he is gone away. Now he is dead. He that raised Lazarus from the grave. Oh, angels would think, our master is dead. Oh, what evil hath he done? Oh, son, why wouldest not thou lend him light? He never angered thee, but gave thee light. Oh, floods, oh, rivers, oh, running streams, what has thus angered you at your Creator? Ye would not send your Lord a drink. O bread, why are you gall to him? O drink, why to him vinegar? O worldly pomp and glory, what ails you at him, that he is so ashamed? O life, where goest thou? Why leavest thou the Lord of life? O joys, why would ye not cheer him? O disciples, why left ye him and forsook him? O Father, what ails thee at thy dear and only Son? O what evil way went these feet that they are pierced? What evil have these hands done that they are pierced? O what evil and what vanity did these eyes behold that death has closed them? O what sin has that fair face done that it is spit upon? O what did these hands steal that they are bound? O what evil has this blessed head done that it is crowned with thorns? Jesus cried with a loud voice, with such a shout as never before went to heaven. O what a cry would all believers have made in hell if Christ had not cried. You would be always crying. But oh, what a conflict was there. God weeping, God sobbing under the water. Never was there such a conflict in heaven and earth, either before or shall be after. Angels might have quaked if they were capable of such passion. They might have said, alas, what ails our dear Lord and Master? To cry so hideously, Christ torn on a piece of a tree. He who takes up the isles of the sea as a little thing. Yea, he who can take up heaven and earth with a touch of his little finger. He who can weigh the mountains in a balance. Oh, what a heavy burden it was to Christ's back. No wonder there was more than a tree upon it. No wonder there was more than a tree upon his back. The curse of the law of God was above the tree, and that was heavier than 10,000 mountains of iron. Ah, a wonder his back did not break in two, and that all his bones were not crushed with it. What Christ cried with a loud voice in death, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Then our Lord died because it was his will. Death could not bind him, but love to his wife bound him. Love is stronger than death. Nay, love was as strong as Christ. The law was weak now, for Christ satisfied it, and it now has no power over you. Ye are in Christ, and he is a better master than the law. change not with any master again. The dead come out of the grave to welcome Christ's death. Life itself was coming to the grave, and therefore the graves opened. Why? Because the Lord of life was coming to the grave. The dead wondered to see life coming down among them. He went beforehand to completely wipe out death and corruption for you. Many waters cannot quench love. Christ was the Lamb, roasted with fire for you. He suffered hot fire for you. He got a toast and a heat that made him sweat blood, but yet his soul was not burnt away with love. Oh, Christ would gladly have you. Are you not burning with love to have him? Are you able to find in your hearts to want him? Oh, thrice sweet death, to die of love for him that died of love for you. Christ in the garden, on the cross, in the grave, under the pursuing of his Father's wrath and anger, asked always for his beloved, his church. He sought you in all places. He sought always until he found you. He went triumphing and rejoicing with his wife in his hand. Christ does not repent of anything that he has done for you. He thinks it all well spent. Christ loves you better than his life. He gave himself away. He gave away his life to get your love. He spared neither cost nor expense. Christ, who was without sin, gave himself a ransom for you, sinners. His Father laid a cross on him. He bought you with his Father's curse. Was not that wife dear to him? Then let Christ be dear to you. Pilate scourged Christ and brought him forth to the people to see if they would repent of their treatment of him when they saw his bloody shoulders. They might have said, "Poor man, thou art ill enough handled for anything that thou hast done." But these hell's hounds would have his heart's blood and his life or nothing. And your husband said, "Amen," to it, for the love he did bear to you and for all that God had done to him. Fourthly, from the text, awake against my fellow, against Christ, who is equal with the Father. Colossians 1:15 says, "The image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He is the man who stands with God, ever ready to do his work and to run for us wherever the Lord bids him." Christ is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person, Hebrews 1:3. The printing press leaves behind it the print of itself. So the Lord from eternity brought forth another like himself, the second person of the Trinity, stamped with the same glorious Godhead, with all the essential properties that are in the Father. Children, did you catch that picture of the Lord Jesus becoming flesh and taking on a body? It was like a printing press, the part of the press that would come down upon the paper. Well, it looks the very same as the print that's made on the paper. And so Christ is the exact image of God the Father. As the Father has life, so the Son has life in himself. As all men honor the Father, so should they honor the Son. Christ is God, and co-equal with God in all things, carrying the stamp and character of the Godhead. Now, God would not enjoy this glorious image and delight of His alone, but put a copy of the Godhead in print on the flesh and blood of man when the Word was made flesh, that He might take this fellow and companion of God to be our fellow and companion. See then the dignity of the elect in Christ, that God and they are made one. Are made one in such a manner that He has parted His own Son between Himself and them. Take Him then with God's blessing. God gave you Him with good will. Take Him with heart and good will then. Awake, O sword, against that the man that is my fellow. Here is a command to the sword to set on Christ, God's fellow and the chief shepherd. Christ is arraigned before the judge for the sins of men. Why should this have been? We would have been stricken and condemned forever had not the Lord stricken and condemned His own Son. Here we have God taking the sacrifice of His Son and letting us go. He knew that His Son would bear the strokes best. What reason had Christ to be stricken? He only came under the debt. Might He not have gone free? No. No, as He came under the debt, He had to pay. Justice would not let Him go, but smote Him, that it struck the Lord's soul from His body. In other words, that it separated, that was such a blow that it separated the Lord's soul from His body. You that live in sin, are you not afraid when the God of glory got such a stroke? We make sport of it, but God's sword goes through flesh and bones, soul and body. Beware of a stroke out of justice's hand, for if you get the stroke of His sword, you will be like Moab, a broken and lame pot, and shall curse the day wherein you were born. Jeremiah 20:15. And Lamentations 3:7 says, He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Our fifth point is an application. And you'll notice that the minister draws some applications in way of connection to the Lord's Supper. In the night wherein our Lord was betrayed, He ordained the supper for you upon His deathbed. He made His testament and left it in legacy to you. In death, He had more thoughts of you, His wife, than He had of Himself. In the garden, on the cross, in the grave, His foolish lost sheep were always in His mind. He has graven you upon the palms of His hands. And when He looks to His hands and says, My sheep, I cannot forget. Yea, in my death, my sister, my spouse, was always in my mind. She took my night sleep from me. That night I was sweating in the garden for her. Who is this that has dipped His garments in blood, yea, in red blood? Know ye Him, beloved? He knows you full well. Come near Him and stand not afar off. Christ says not, look past me, but look on me, whom you have pierced with your sins. You must not turn your shoulder to him, but turn your face toward him. Love your new husband well, and let all the old go. Tear in pieces the contract that was between you and your heart's lusts. And now Christ says, you shall have a better life than ever you had in your old husband's time. Christ has made his wife a great feast. Lie not down to sleep after your meal. Christ has fed you to run a race, even a race to heaven. Awake, therefore, in the word and sacraments. Christ takes you into the chariot with himself and draws your hearts after him. Do not be Satan's and the world's footmen any longer, for it is a wearisome life. But ride with Christ in his chariot, for it is all paved with love. From the bottom of it, it is the love of slain Christ. You must sit there upon love. Love is a soft cushion. The devil and the world made you sweat at the sore work of sin and made you run upon your own feet too. But it is better to be Christ's horseman and ride than to be Satan's weary footman and to travel upon clay. Christ says, he has washed you today. Sin no more. Keep yourselves clean. Go not to Satan's sooty houses, but go to your husband, the fairest among 10,000, that your lovely husband may make your robes clean in the blood of the Lamb. You are going into a clean heaven and an undefiled city. Take not filthy, clay-covered hands and dirty feet with you. What say you of your new husband? Does he please you well? May not his servants say in his name that you are heartily welcome to him? May they not say in your name that he is heartily welcome to you? No soul lives well a single life. Now, seeing you must marry, marry Christ. You will never find a better husband. When Christ was dead and sleeping on the cross and his side broken with a spear until blood and water came out, the Lord was forming a wife for the second Adam, your husband. In death, he was doing and working that no wedded man could do, even blessing and embracing his beloved. Come near and kiss dead Jesus. Oh, but slain Christ has a sweet smell. Even when he is dead, what think ye of the smell of his love? What do you think of these feet that went up and down the world to seek his Father's lost sheep, pierced with nails? He that healed the diseases of the lame and the blind is now blind himself. The eyes that were often lifted up to heaven unto God in prayer, wearied with tears, his head pierced with thorns, his face is fairer than the sun, the dearest beloved is now maimed with blood and the hair pulled out of his cheek. Could love be painted then? When Christ was black and blue upon the cross and pale with death, he was then fairest and most pleasant. God the Father was reconciled and looked sweetly upon slain Christ. And then mercy and peace were proclaimed to all believing sinners. The law and justice groaned still until Christ's life was put forth. And now they smiled upon believers and say, come into heaven, pulled open by Christ's holy arm from the cross when it was shut by the strong iron bar that held tightly closed the door of heaven, until he heard his arm and took it by. And now Christ says, be not afraid, come away. But you will say, we are weak. We dare not open Christ's door. Well then, says Christ, I am strong enough for you. And now, seeing it is already open, get up quickly and enter into it, and there abide. You are Christ's brethren and sisters. When you were under hell and condemnation, He pleaded the law for you. He tired Himself in paying the law and in getting the inheritance from you. And God be thanked, He won the plea, but it was at a great price to Him. Christ made an exchange. Christ traded lives with you and made an exchange. He never beguiled you, for He took shame and gave you glory. He took the curse and gave you the blessing. He took death and gave you life. The head of the church is dead, and the Lord of life is laid down in the grave. No wonder that the sun is shut down, because the great Sun of Righteousness was shut down in the grave, and a stone laid above Him. Good right you have to Christ. Accept of His exchange and change with Him, and take His best blessing and purchased redemption. What a sight is our Lord Jesus going out of the gates of Jerusalem and His cross upon His back. He was likely to fall under it. He was so weak in body and weary in soul when He went to the top of Mount Calvary. And all the time He saw black death before Him and a curse. He was even then bearing God's curse upon His back that was heavier than the cross. Look on Him and follow Him. He will not bid you to offer Him any help. Give Him obedience. Give Him love. Look upon Him and look for Him. Whither I go, ye know. And the way ye know. Christ this day lets you see all the footsteps in your way to heaven. In His death and blood, He made a new way to heaven. He went in a hard way Himself through God's curse and painful sufferings. He bids you not follow Him that way, but believe in Him and love one another and stick fast by Christ. The old way you never could have gone, but Christ's market gate is a sweet and easy way. If you will bear Christ's yoke and so love Him, you and He will come in each other's hands together to heaven. And you will be the more welcome because He is with you. A little while, says Christ, and I will come again. Take you here, Christ's flesh, in token that He will come again to you and marry you to Himself forever. Your new husband has said, within a little while He will come again and see you and see that you keep yourselves for Him. Abide in Christ. Christ says to you, dear one, my dearest ones, weary not, fight on. I shall be with you in your hour of battle. Be true to me as I was always true to you. How do ye, since you married Christ last? Tell your mind about Christ. Let faith speak. Let love speak of slain Christ Jesus, of His kissing you. You are now at Christ's pierced side. Get heaven and mercy. When Christ has the cross on His back, oh, what is shown in Christ's love. Come, live on His love, and you are wholly fed. Live on His love, and that is a sweet bed. Ride on His love, and it shall carry you through death and hell and every evil way. God takes hold of His people, and then they cleave to Him. He loves them, and they love Him. Kindness between God and His people stands never on one side. It is on both sides. However, God must begin. Love grows up. but comes down from God, and the beams of it spring up to him again. Children, which comes first, the sun shining down in the spring or the flowers growing up? Which one comes first? The sun comes down first, right? And then the flowers spring up. And that's how God's saving love is in the hearts of winter dead sinners. In the Song of Solomon 1:4, the church says, "Draw me." She speaks to Christ to draw her. Then says Christ in chapter 2, verse 10, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." He seeks her and she seeks him. She says, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest." In chapter 1, 7, "I will be where thou dwellest. I will be where thou art." Christ seeks you in the sacrament. Seek ye him again. And though the devil should say the contrary, there shall be a meeting. She says in chapter 3, verse 3, "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" He says in chapter 4, verse 8, "Come with me from Lebanon." She says in 1:4, "We will remember thy love more than wine." He says in 4:10, "How much better is thy love than wine?" He calls her his love and fair one. She calls him in 5:10, "White and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Let his love get a meeting. He fought through death and hell to find you. Seek him through all troubles. He bought you dear. Say ye, oh, that I could give all that I have or could do for him. There is not any blessed marriage otherwise. Love ye not Christ clearly? Would ye not suffer and die for him as he suffered and died for you? Is not marriage love? If it is not so, it is but feigned love. Now Christ is holding forth his love to you this day. Will ye not accept of the offer? And will ye return nothing again? I like not that kindness, where there is no taking and giving, no borrowing and lending between Christ and you. May the Lord Jehovah persuade you to embrace the offer and flee into lovely Christ Jesus, the glorious Prince of renown, and to him be praise forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray together. O Lord, who can believe it? Such a love. There is no love in the world like it. And who can resist it? O Lord, thou knowest. We will resist thee if left to ourselves, if left to our love for sin and our rejection of thee. Lord, grant us to see that we need not find it in ourselves, that all that we need is in thee. And we need not know first if we're elect, though we know only thy elect will come. We need not know first if we possess faith, though we know it is only by faith that we will be connected to thee. Lord, take away our resistance and our unwillingness, that we wouldn't examine self to look for a day of power, that we would only flee to thee in what thou hast given, in spite of what we have, in spite of who we are, against our coldness, and our deadness, O Lord, be a complete Savior for us, that Thou would get all the glory here today on this Thy holy Sabbath, in this service, but also in the rest of the day, in the rest of the week, in the rest of our lives, for eternity. May it be that we would find an eternity of love to give back to Thee in Christ. Grant it, Lord, we pray. Forgive our sins. Now we ask it. Cleanse us with the blood of Christ. In His holy name we pray. Amen.